The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
It seems like I wanted to say something else, and it just fell out of my brain. Well, I did.
Today's the second Sunday of the month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really forgot all about that, but that you brought that up, I will mention it. You know, every fourth Sunday of the month, we receive an offering for missions, okay? And we put out a little basket in the back, and as you know, we don't pass the basket around here, so we put the basket back there. And so those of you who want to give to missions, you can go ahead and do that. Well, there's another ministry that is happening in our church, most of you know about, called GLOW. And that means
God's love outworking.
I didn't know. I knew it, but I don't remember it. GLOW is easy for me, all right? So these folks are out feeding the poor and taking care of things, and it's a financial burden. I'm not big on fundraisers. I don't like doing selling cakes and all that kind of stuff. I kind of like the old-fashioned way. You just give. So the second Sunday of every month, we're going to put out the basket in the back, and if you would like to contribute to GLOW, you can make checks out either to New Beginnings Church or to GLOW, either one you feel comfortable with, and we will make sure that it gets put in the proper place. So thank you, Gail, for reminding me about that. I appreciate that. And again, I mentioned a little earlier, thank the Piazzas for inviting us over to their beautiful house. This house is so cool. It's so cool. It's got a driveway big enough for three cars to drive on abreast of each other. That's just a driveway. They got a, most people have heated pools. They have a heated backyard. They got heaters to keep you nice and toasty warm in the middle of cold weather. And then if you weren't warm enough, they fed you some nice hot chili just to make sure that you would be toasty warm. So that was a lot of fun. We appreciate being at your house. It's just a lovely place. And I know the Lord's blessed you there. And anybody wants to have a party have food at their house, let me know. We'll be there. We'll have a party. We'll announce it. Okay, today's message is, how do you turn holidays into holy days? How do you turn holidays into holy days? And let's look at Matthew chapter 26 and verses 1 and 2 and then verses 6 and 7 mixed in here. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And then down to verse 6, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has been preserved by you through the ages, that we might have it today in this place to study and to learn and to apply to our very lives. We ask, dear Lord, that it would just permeate our souls, it would encourage us, it would give us new thoughts and new visions, it would heal our innermost being. Lord, let the Word of God do its work within us today as we study. Father, if there's anything that's in my notes that's not of you, let me overlook it. If there's anything that you want to say that I hadn't prepared, Father, I ask you to bring it to my lips that I might speak only those things that you, the Spirit of God, would say to us, the church. And we pray these things in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. 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 By the way, I want to congratulate y'all. I used to have to try to get you to say better amens, but y'all really good every week. You gotta, when I do that, you give me a big amen. I really like it. Well, every year, right before the holidays, everybody starts to moan and says, oh no, not the holidays again. you know, what happened to, you know, summertime? Well, you know, just you turn around and it's here and nobody's prepared. You know, anybody who's prepared for the holidays is probably, you know, not mentally well. You know, the rest of us are never prepared for it. It just shows up and you realize that you have done little or no preparation to have the holidays, you know, just bunks in on you. Society has commercialized everything and it's really stripped the joy right out of the days. I mean, it's more of a worry, isn't it, than it is a joy. Because you know all the stuff you got to do. You got to buy all those presents for the pastor. You know, you have to get all that stuff for yourself. You got to get all these parties lined up. You know, you've got to go all these places. And you got to go to church and, you know, you got to get dressed up for church. Some of you who haven't worn a coat and tie, you know, all year, you'll have your coat and tie on for the holidays. So we've got all these things. You're going to see some of your family that you hadn't seen since last year and maybe were happy about it, you know. So all those things happen with this commercialization and all the things that are happening in holidays. But I want you to know it's nothing new. They had the same situation in Jesus' lifetime. And the reason I know that, because it says that 2 days before the Passover feast, so it was on their minds. They were actually thinking about that. But the holy days of the Passion of Christ were about to begin. People were looking for the mandatory holiday, not realizing that the new holy day of the Passion was about to break into history. They had no way of knowing. See, holidays that are not holy days are really heathen days. You got that? Holidays that are not holy days are really heathen days. And we don't want to be there. So I want to help us this year to make a change and to begin to let these holidays become very, very special for us. Something that we'll look back with and with remembrance of some great things. So what do we do? All right, how do you change holiday into holy day? Well, the first thing you do is you do something brash. Do something brash. Let's look. And by the way, this story is told in all of the gospel accounts. And so I'll be jumping around a little bit to bring these to you. So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 44. Luke 7. What did I say?
Four.
Yeah. That was to confuse the people who listen on CDs and to teach them not to be in church. They'll be looking for it all over. Thank you, Rose. Then he turned towards the woman, he being Jesus, and he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" You know why I told him that? Because he didn't see that woman. Jesus saw something that was about to happen that Simon, whose house he was at, didn't know. And we're about to see the account of what took place. She broke the holiday rules. She broke the holiday rules and set up the tempo for holy days. She was the change agent of the moment. Things were going to be different because of this gal and what took place. The holidays in Jesus' day were just as maddening as ours. They had to find a place to have the Passover feast. You remember the story of Jesus. He told his disciples, he had already prepared, go into town, you'll see a guy, tell him that the master has need of your house. There were preparations that had to be made. They got out their latest clay pots. They didn't have china, so they got out their latest clay pots. I know ladies, every lady, I don't care if it's a clay pot or it's a china, she's got the good stuff stashed away. She brings out the good stuff. had to get the proper foods. Passover was a long period of festivities, and they had to serve certain foods and cooked a certain way, and lots of preparation had to be done. So it was on everybody's mind. It was not a casual thing, just like it's on our mind with the holidays. I mean, you won't be able to get away from it. Already, who was it? Somebody told me, oh, it was Pastor Wayne. That's who it was. He said that he works at JCPenney's, and he said they've been playing Jingle Bells, until he's tired of Jingle Bells, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. You know, so it's here, and it's overtaking. So it is a maddening time. Many years ago, we used to have a Seder, which is a reenactment of the Passover feast in our church. And we set it up, and it was a big deal. I can't tell you how much work it was. Those of you back there shaking your head, Allison, it was a lot of work. Remember Beverly, we had to get all the nice dinnerware out, and we set up the tables and had to get it was really a big deal. And we stopped doing it. You know why we stopped doing it? It's just too much work in the middle of the holidays. You know? By the way, I got an idea that we ought to do it. I think it'd be fun to do it again. So if anybody here wants to volunteer to help do that, we'll have a Seder this year. And it's really awesome to go through it. You're volunteering? Oh, Chinette, yeah. Hey, would you give Jesus counterfeit money? Or would you use the real thing? Just a thought. I'm not saying, this is not saying we have to do it. But if the Lord stirs your hearts, I think it would be fun to do. It would be a lot of work, but it might be a nice, fun thing to do for us to do. So, at any rate, now, yeah, back to, what's that? Is that Easter time? Oh, good. Well, thank you. You've got a little time to prepare. See? I'm not real good with remembering things like that. If it's not on my calendar, I don't remember anything, by the way. So, but the women at this time were busy making preparations. As always is the case in society, the burden of the work fell to women. And the men were having this meal at Simon's house. And the ladies, as usual, were cooking, and the men were reclining at table. And this lady shows up, you know, and it's like I could hear every eye and every head turn in the room like, what's she doing here? You know, this is the men's time. You know, this isn't the ladies' time to be here. And she did a very brash act in that she aggressively broke the holiday pattern. She did something completely out of the norm. No one expected this. Just, you know, there are expectations of us individually in our homes. There are expectations of us in society. And we're supposed to keep the rules. You know, you can't do things a different way because everybody gets upset about it. We like order. When we had a couple of words here this morning about change, we like things in order. We like our little ducks in a row. And this lady comes in, and things are beginning to change. The atmosphere is different. Jesus notices it. He says to Simon, have you seen this woman? Like something is about to happen that is going to change things. In her brash act, was just what needed to be done to cause an event to take place that has been told over and over and over through the generations about what this woman did because she took it in her own hands to do what was right in the midst of everyone's expectations. See, just because you've been doing something the same way all the time doesn't mean it's the right way. What's that definition of insanity? If you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's insane. You have to do things different to get a different result. And that's what this lady did. Now, I need to tell you that I'm not anti-Thanksgiving. I am not against that. I'm not anti-Christmas. I like Christmas. You know, it's a fun time. I'm not anti-New Year. I think it's a great time. But I think we've lost something in the way. Because I found myself saying to you what I said to myself. It's the holidays again. What joy is there in that? There's no joy. I'm thinking about all the things that I need to do in my own personal life, in my family life, in this church life, in the other areas that I'm involved in our society here in Slidell. So I'm not opposed to those things, but I think we need a fresh focus. And I want to give you some things, just some practical things that you can do. Society has banned Christianity from society. They don't like us. They don't like what we do. They have decided they don't want a manger. You can't have, down in New Orleans, you used to have Christmas in the Oaks at City Park. They don't have that anymore. It's celebration in the Oaks. You can celebrate, you just can't celebrate Christmas. But of course, think about that for a minute. If you don't have Christmas, what are you celebrating? You know, so that, you know, that's another whole train of thought. But what we can do is we can change our focus. Let me tell you what, friends, if you haven't figured it out yet, you're not going to change City Hall. You're not going to change the mentality of our society. It's not happening. We can lament and groan and cry and say things ought to be different. They ought to be saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. You can say that all you want. All you can do is get frustrated. But what you can do is make a change in your life. You can make things different where you live, in your area of influence. So that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Here's a good thing for you to do. Put up a manger in your front yard. Get a manger. Go buy one. They're not that expensive. I love our landlord, Bill Borchardt. Those of you know Bill, Bill, I hope you listen to this. I always tell Bill he's got more money than sense because he spends his money in the right way for the Lord. You should go see his house at Christmas time. He lives right here in Country Club. Bill has got a life-size statue manger. And it's not just one. He's got camels and donkeys and it's 6 foot tall statues in his front yard. He's got programmed lights and music. I mean, it's a sight to behold. I didn't even ask him what he paid for it. I thought about renting it for like Easter, you know, when he may not be using it. You know, because it's really, really nice. Just to show you the way society is, you know what's happened to him? I think he's been doing this 2 years now. You know what's happened 2 years? Somebody comes and steals the baby Jesus out of the manger. Makes him so mad. He's threatened to put 220 wires to it, you know, just to give him a shock, let him send him to see baby Jesus. He wouldn't do it, but do something. Go. I mean, you can get a plastic thing with a Christmas light bulb in it. That's what we got. I don't even know where we got ours from. Garage sale, probably. You know, just put it out, and at least you can say in your house, in your neighborhood, you're going to make a difference. And it'll change the focus of what's going on. The Christmas lights are great, but put Christ in your Christmas. In fact, right behind me, you see this beautiful cross. It's a little crooked. Somebody should have told me that. Get it straightened out. Many years ago, I built that cross. I wasn't even a Christian when I built it. But it was Christmas time, and my dad always decorated his house. And so I kind of picked that up, and I thought, well, I'd do some decorating too. So I thought, hey, get a cross and put some Christmas lights on it. So that's what I did. I built a cross, and if you get up here real close, it's got little holes where I tacked my Christmas lights on there. And my dad came over to the house. He said, what in the world is that? I said, it's a Christmas cross. He said, you can't have a cross at Christmas time. Take that thing down. And being an obedient son, I took it down. Put it in the garage, and it stayed with me low these many years. How did I know that one day we'd have a church and we need a cross? I went and found it, took the Christmas lights off of it, didn't have to paint it or anything. It's really an old rugged cross, and that's what we have. But, you know, you can do something like that. You know, now that I'm a believer, I would have disobeyed my dad. Parents, the kids, whole years, you're not supposed to disobey parents. But I would have disobeyed him and left my cross up. But, you know, who knew that I was doing work that I'd be using some 35, 40 years later, however long the period of time was. So, do that. Here's another good one. I'm going to help you with this one. Wear a button that says Merry Christmas or Jesus Christ is Lord or something that's got a Christmas flavor and let people look at you like you're weird. It's okay. They may be right. But you'll be making a statement where you live. You see, friends, it's not fair on our part to want them to change. We're not willing to change ourselves. He said, oh, well, Pastor, I'd be so embarrassed to go to work with a Jesus Christmas button on me. Well, maybe you need to rethink that some, you know. Maybe you're the same. Just go ahead and do it. Just, you know, make a difference. I promise you, those who are believers are going to applaud you. Those who are unbelievers will give you a chance to share Christmas with them. Because they will ask. I promise you, you won't go unnoticed. And I've got some on the way. Now, I can do this the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is I can give it to you and they won't mean nothing to you. Or I can sell them to you. And I haven't decided if I sell them what the price will be. But it'll be enough that you pay for it. You'll wear it. Miss Rose, nobody likes cheap jewelry, do they? I heard about your stuff. You got to take out a bank loan to get some of that stuff. But it's beautiful stuff. I mean, you want to wear something nice. So what I get for you, it'll be nice, all right? So that's in the works. That's going to happen real soon. I've got two plans. One is I'm trying to get one designed exactly the way I want it, and I got to find out what that's going to cost. If that won't work, I got another source that I don't have to design. I can get it for you. But make Thanksgiving dinner wait while you read a scripture. Let that turkey get cold. Then warm up the other people at your dinner. Just do something different. Read the scriptures. Make it a holy day in your area and in your where you live. People will appreciate it. I'm telling you, there's a hunger for holy things in our society, and no one can find it. And you know, many of your neighbors and many of your family, you know they won't go to church. You've been trying for years to get some of them to go to church. They ain't coming. But you could bring church to them. If they like your cooking, they like your stuffing, they'll listen to you read the scripture to them. So that's another thing you can do. There's a thing called MySpace on the computer. All the young people know about that, right? You know about MySpace? That's where you can go in and tell your life story and other people can read it. I don't know why you do that, but that's what they do. Well, change your space and make your space different in your area of influence, all right? So I encourage you to do that. Here's another one. Just stop shopping.
Amen.
Just stop it. Just say, that's enough. And if you have to shop, go to some place. Now, Mike, they got to have food, all right? They're going to come there, all right? Mike is a manager over in the area with Winn-Dixie back. They're going to be there, okay? And they need some jewelry, Miss Rose. I mean, I don't mind you guys, but, you know, they're worried about the sales being down at the holidays. Don't just contribute to why not going? Save yourself some problems. You won't have to worry about the Christmas rush. You won't have to worry about going out there to do something. And everyone said, well, you didn't buy me a Christmas present. Well, maybe you could make them one. Maybe you could just create one. You know, people appreciate things that are creative more than they do things that are bought. Because a lot of times the things you buy them are going back anyway. So just a couple of thoughts about that. So do something brash. Now, the second thing about how do you change holidays into holy days is to do something bold. This substitute help you get on the computer. He's paying attention to me. That's what I like, all right? Do something bold. Let's look at Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 47. Again, then Jesus turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Whoa, I wonder how Simon felt at that moment in time. What an opportunity to do something. Everyone else was in the pre-holiday spirit, but this unidentified woman was in the Holy Spirit. She was thinking differently. See how a change of thought can change the whole atmosphere of what takes place? Just one bold soul who will do something different. This woman was bold, she was brash, and she got everybody's attention. I promise you, if they weren't looking at her before, when Jesus said this, all eyes were fixed on this woman. She's not identified, by the way. Some believe she was Mary Magdalene. Some believe she was another Mary. We don't know. The scriptures don't say. It's interesting to me, and I think that she was probably an unidentified woman who showed up, who had heard about Messiah. Maybe she didn't look the part. I don't know. Maybe she was, didn't dress the way everybody else dressed. Maybe her background and her accent was different. Maybe there was something about her that was distasteful to people. You know, sometimes people come in a room that look different than you and act different than you and maybe have a different aroma than you. And, you just kind of keep your space. Don't want to get too close. But this lady showed up and began to change everything. See, the status quo won't get it. Holidays become holy days when holy acts are done. When you do something, you know, we're not big on doing things around here because we don't want you to feel like you're working your way into heaven. But some things require action to get them done. And that's what this lady did. Thanksgiving is not designed for turkey and stuffing or cranberry sauce or apple pie. You know what Thanksgiving is designed for? To give thanks. Maybe you could change the whole way you enjoy this Thanksgiving by making a day of thanks. That's what it was set up to do. That's what our founding fathers wanted done. They set us aside to give thanks unto God for all that He had done. Maybe you could make out a little list of things you could thank God for. Some of you are going through hard times and you say, man, I don't know, man. I got so many, heavy things on my life. Well, you know what? Sometimes the heavy burdens of life begin to disappear when you begin to do, as that old song said, count your blessings, your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. So begin to be thankful. Christmas is not created so that we can have Christmas presents and holiday lights and presents under the tree. Weren't made for us to have parties. Christmas is a time that the early church set aside to celebrate the Christ who had come to earth, where the God of all creation took on the form of a man and was born of a virgin and came to this earth that we might be cleansed and made whole. Why not focus on Christ for a change instead of all the other things? Maybe you don't want to put up your Christmas tree. Although I'm not against your Christmas tree. But maybe you want to think differently to honor Christ. New Year's is not a time just to shoot firecrackers. Not a time just to have a few drinks and a holiday meal. New Year's is a time to celebrate and make plans for the coming year. Or what God has planned for the new year for us. That's why we're going to have a New Year's Eve service here. We're going to have food and a movie, but we're going to pray in the new year. So, you know, put that on your calendar. Those of you who have other things to do, come here with us and pray in the new year. We need to pray on New Year's Eve because you know what happens on the 5th of January? What happens on the 5th of January? We begin our 21 days of fasting. Now you look worried. We're going to do this. This is going to be great. But Pat helped me understand it better this morning. She said, it's not 21 days of fasting. It's only 3 7-day sets of fasting. That's easy. You can do 7 days. Yeah, try it. There's nothing to it. 7 3-day sessions. So we're going to do this, and I'm going to help you with this. I've got lots of things mulling in my mind, things, preparations I'm making. This is going to be great. It's going to be fun. But that's what the new year is about, being prepared for the year that's coming. Okay? Now, anyone in Simon's house could have made a difference. They all had the opportunity, but nobody acted except this lady. Now, I want us to look at just some of the elements that were there that day. First of all, Jesus was there. Well, let me tell you what, friends, where Jesus is, there's something going to happen. It's exciting where he is. I mean, we pray to get Jesus here. That's what we want. We gather together in groups of two or three and more so that Jesus will come. We sing songs, "Come, Lord Jesus. You are awesome in this place." We sang that this morning. We want God's divine presence, don't we? Well, when God's divine presence is manifest in the Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus, something awesome should be happening. Don't you agree with that?
Amen.
And if it's not because Jesus isn't there. He promises us when we gather together in His name, He will be right in the midst of what's going on. So Jesus was there. So that element existed. Water was there, which really speaks of a time of humility when you look at that. In fact, flip the go back a slide for me, Mike. "You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." You know, maybe we just need to humble ourselves a little bit for the holiday season. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and in the presence of God. And to begin to think, you know, change takes place, real change takes place when you begin to think differently. And when you begin to think differently, you begin to believe differently. And when you begin to believe differently, you begin to act differently. Now that's the grace message of which you hear so often in legal churches when they tell you to repent. Because they've made it a bad word. And that it's something that, you know, you must be doing some horrible things and you need to repent, and we see sackcloth and ashes. But it really means to change our thinking. When we change the way we think, we change the way we believe. When we change the way we believe, we change the way that we act. And when we act differently, things begin to happen. So let's begin to do that. What a thing that this woman done. That is awesome. That she washed his feet. I don't know about you, friends, but if you're like me, I don't like people looking at my feet. They're not the prettiest thing in the world. I got a pretty face, but my feet ain't too much. I love it. I told somebody yesterday that I learned at seminary from Dr. Level, who's the president of seminary, "He that tooteth not his own horn, sometimes it be tooteth not." So I just tooted my own horn. But we don't like to show our feet, do we? You know, that's an uncomely part of our body. But yet this woman washed his feet with her tears and dried with the glory of a woman. You ladies, all you ladies got your hair fixed so nice. You do that. You spend all that time fluffing and painting and coloring, and some of you, and getting it looking nice because it's your glory. It's the glory of a woman is her hair. And she wiped his feet with her hair. Can you feel that for a moment? What that lady would do? What an awesome thing that she did for Messiah. Here's the point. There were other people who could have done it. But she's the only one who did. The great acts are done by solitary figures. Because you can't get a committee to agree. I guarantee you, if they had got a committee together to see what to do, it wouldn't have been that. What an awesome thing. The kiss was there, which is a time of affection. You did not greet me with a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Wow. Wow. If somebody tried to kiss your feet, you'd... I mean, even little babies, you try to kiss their feet, what do? They pull them away. He kissed her feet, his feet. Oh, when Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he went back to glory and this woman, I'm sure, was still living, how many times do you think she told the story of the day she kissed Messiah's feet? There's a song that we sing at Christmas time and we'll probably hear it, and it talks about Mary, and it says, Mary, did you know? Did you know when you kiss the baby's cheek, you were kissing the face of God? And what could this woman say? But I kissed the feet of God. See what some bold thinking can do? Stepping out. Have a foot washing service at your house. Just do it among your family members. Do something that breaks the mold. Makes things so different, so changed. A memory that you will never forget, and those who know you will never forget, and God will never forget, because what was a normal, aggravating, year after year holiday was transformed into a glorious, holy day with a memory that will last you for a lifetime. The oil was there. The oil was there, which is a time of holiness. He said, you did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Missed opportunities that we have in life to get close to God, to have something really life-changing take place, or just the ashes of a life of what could have been. When we take advantage of an opportunity to do something really bold for God and for ourselves, we create a memory that goes with us all of our life, and we can say, like this woman said, we were bold for Christ. We did something out of the ordinary. We changed the tempo of where we lived, in our family, in our unit, in our place. Some would say, you know, maybe I would have done that had I been there with Jesus, but I wasn't there. Well, this is one of the most awesome passages of Scripture to help you. Jesus said, if you've done it to one of these, the least of my brethren, what's the rest of it say? You've done it unto me. Go down with these ladies down in the 9th ward. I'll go over here to the church and feed some people who need to be fed. Break out of the me, it's Christmas holiday, New Year's holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, and do something awesome for somebody else. But when you do so, you touch mighty God. And I'll tell you one thing that I know about God, from what I read in the Scriptures and what I've experienced in my own life. When you touch God, guess who walks away the better? Every time you do. Okay. Be bold towards someone this holiday season. Third thing I want to talk about this morning is holidays become holy days when you do something benevolent. When you do something benevolent. Let's look at Matthew 26, verses 6 and 7. While Jesus was in Bethany, the home of a man known as Simon the leper, Isn't that horrible? Simon the leper. That doesn't sound good. They believe, theologians believe, it was a guy who was healed from leprosy, and that's why they called him that. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at table. Now this says his head, the other one said his feet. That's just one of those things we don't know exactly. It's a language thing, but it doesn't matter. The fact that he did it, that she did it, is what's important. Now, this woman made the holy day into a holiday into a holy day by doing something that cost her something. There was a cost involved in what she did. Now, all the experts, all the theologians agree, and I read a bunch of them preparing this message, they all agree on this. Whatever she had in that alabaster jar was very expensive. I heard some things that in today's value, it could have been worth as much as $30,000 or $40,000. That's a chunk of change where I come from. But she took something very valuable, very valuable, and it wasn't the ordinary stuff. Now, where I grew up, down in the Ninth Ward, my mom used to have perfume. It was called Eau de Toilette. Y'all know about that? That's smelly water. Mama couldn't afford no perfume, but she liked to smell good. I remember she used to get that stuff from Avon. Oh, the toilet. Sounds so fancy. You know, it's like going to Target instead of Target. You know, it's just kind of one of those things. This was expensive stuff that the ordinary people may not have had, which leads us to believe there's a possibility this was a very wealthy woman. We don't know, but it would lead you to believe that. So, those present may have never experienced an aroma like that before. It's kind of like this. Let me put it to you this way. You go to visit somebody's house, and they say, would you like to have some coffee? And you plug that coffee pot in, and that aroma just fills the air. You know? And boy, all your saliva glands and everything else is waiting for that cup of coffee. That the aroma of it. You know, one of the ways that we really appreciate things is by the aroma of it. Have you ever had someone walk by you and had a perfume or an aroma who reminded you of someone? I've had that happen. You know, somebody wears something my mom wore or my wife, and they walk by and it just kind of, for that brief moment in time, you recognize it. They may have never had this aroma in their being before. And I suspect that they didn't. These were not always wealthy people, although Jesus did hang around with some wealthy people. But it was there. She may have been saving it for a special occasion. And the reason I think that they may be the case, because it says that she broke it open. Now, she probably didn't break the vial. That probably didn't happen. I know ladies are not good about breaking something fancy. It was a nice alabaster jar. So I think she probably broke the seal. It probably had a wax seal or some kind of seal on it. And so she broke that seal. And that aroma poured out of there. So she may have been saving it for a special occasion. And she took a couple of days before the holidays. Save it for a Christmas present. Don't waste it now. But she did something that nobody expected. And she poured it upon Jesus. She gave the very best that she had. Do we do that? You know, we're very quick to criticize people in the scriptures in particular when we find out that people were bringing offerings to the temple that were blemished. And we sit back here several thousand years later and we say, what's the matter with those people? Why didn't they give the best lamb when they brought it to the temple? Why didn't they bring the best turtle doves? Why didn't they bring the best heifer? But the mirror pops up and it says, well, what about you? Have you brought the best to the Lord? Well, you're just kind of giving him the spotted sheep. Oh, you're lame heifer or something that doesn't mean so much to you? Or do you give him the very best that you have? I believe this lady gave the very best that she have. I think she was being extravagant. She knew she was being extravagant. She knew about Jesus. She heard about his reputation. She knew what, who he was in her spirit. And she showed up and she did this very benevolent, bold, brash act to this woman to touch this carpenter from Nazareth who could heal the blind and the lame, the brokenhearted, raise the dead, forgive sins. And she showed up to do this. And you know the first thing that happened after she did it? People criticized her. Jesus, don't you know she's a sinner? May have been a Gentile, I don't know. In a Jew's house. Oh, that's bad news. She may have been, I don't know. Doesn't tell us. She may have been a prostitute. That's what most people believe. I don't know. Prostitutes didn't hang around with people of church. I don't know what she was. But they said, this woman is a sinner. What is she doing here? Why is she doing this? And I can almost hear Jesus saying when he talked to Simon, well, why didn't you do something? And that's a question that echoes through the ages to you and me today. Why don't we do something? Are we waiting for someone else? Are you waiting for somebody else to do a benevolent act? Are you waiting for someone else to give extravagantly? Are you waiting for somebody else to do it and they get all the glory and all the credit and all the accolades and all the treasures in heaven when it was within your power to do the same thing? But are you grabbing and holding on to the things of this life as if they were yours? As if they belong to you? Do you not know that the things that you have, that you're nothing more than a steward, that they don't belong to you? Somebody asked one time when a very wealthy man died, he said, how much did he leave behind? You know what the response was? Everything. Amen. Everything. Would you rather have been benevolent with Christ and the kingdom of God in a generous way like this woman and established for yourself a memory in your own hearts and in the heart of God that you gave in a way that was beyond what was expected of you? How would you feel about yourself if you did? How would you feel Christmas morning if you did something so extravagant for the Lord that it didn't matter if you had any presents under the tree because your presence was sitting in the throne room of God? Makes a lot of sense to you, doesn't it? I can hear your heart and your spirit saying, yeah, Morris, I understand that. I hear what you're saying. You know you could have given this money to the poor. You know how much we could have sold that stuff for? You wasted it on this illegitimate carpenter from Nazareth. We got hungry people in our community that need food. They need clothing. Do you know what Jesus' response to that question was? Not in this passage, but another place. You know what he said? He said, the poor you'll always have with you. You know what that means? There's always ample opportunity to give the poor. And the poor need it. We need help. We need to be generous and caring and feeding and clothing and paying for things, paying for medical bills for people, buying somebody a washing machine. All those things are good. But what about the kingdom of God? Doing something that's so extravagant that it has no earthly benefit to you to do it or to anyone else. I challenge you this holiday season to do something extraordinarily benevolent for the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about business as usual. I'm talking about extraordinary. If you're a person and your finances are such, and those of you who are our guests, you don't know this about me, but let me tell you right now, anybody in this church will tell you, I don't talk about money around here. You know that. Money is not my God, not by a long shot. So keep that in context when I go through this. If you normally have the ability to give $10 to the kingdom of God, give $100. Just stretch it on out there. If you normally give $100, give $1,000. Give where you know that you are giving the best that you can give. And if you give $1,000, give $10,000. And you might say, oh, I might be able to kick in $100, Pastor. I might get $150. $1,000? I would really stretch. $10,000? You can't imagine it. I'll tell you a story. My business partner and I, when we were struggling with our business, just getting it off the ground, I mean, it was just Wayne and me and a lot of hope. We both loved the Lord, and we weren't paying ourselves. We were just taking enough money out of the business so we could get some food and live. But Wayne and I had a desire to give, and we said, you know what? We used to pray together every morning. We started our business day, and almost simultaneously we said, you know, we'd like to give $10,000 to the kingdom. We didn't have $10,000. There wasn't any hope of $10,000. But we said it, and something clicked on the inside of us, and we said, we can do that. We can do it. So we began to believe that we could do it, and we began to tell people about it. We had a group of men who used to come to our office once a week, and we had a prayer meeting once a week in my office. And Wayne and I would be praying, and we would just pray, Lord, we ask you to give us $10,000. We give it to the kingdom. Didn't happen that week. Didn't happen the next week. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. But our faith was there. We believed that we could do it. In fact, one of the guys used to pray with us. We got him believing so much, he made a wooden plaque. He created a wooden plaque, and he chiseled into it $10,000 and brought it to us. He had to paint it, and we put it on the wall in our office, $10,000. Well, one day we did a business deal. We made a sale, and when we had counted up all the expenses and we looked at what we had to take out for our living expenses, we looked at each other, and there was $10,000 left over. And Wayne and I said, there's our $10,000. And we gave it into the kingdom. $10,000. In my neck of the woods, that's a lot of money. That's a gift that keeps on giving to me because I keep remembering it. I remember what it felt like. I remember how good it was. And I didn't parcel it out in little pieces here and there. Man, I went and lay down. We split it between the two of us. He took five for himself, I took five for myself. And I went to my church at the time, and I laid down $10,000 right in the collection plate. I mean, $5,000 right in the collection plate. I was so happy. You should have seen the pastor. You didn't think I was happy? We went into the kingdom. I just put it in. I just did it. And it felt so awesome to do it. It was my alabaster vial. I did it. Now you might say, Mr. Morris, you stick to preaching that stuff. You've been preaching about praying for America and just leave my bank account alone. I'm challenging you to do it. If you want to have some holy days instead of some holidays, this is just one way you can do it. And by the way, if you think I'm taking it for myself, you don't have to give it to this church. We got money in the bank. We can pay our bills. We're in good shape. I don't know how many churches can say that, but I can say that. But I tell you what, we pick up an extra $100,000 or might go buy us a piece of land because I'm not going into debt. Not if I can help it. I want to pay for it. I'd like to get us a piece of land one day we can build on. You just put it in a plate and say, building fund. We don't have a building fund, but you could be the first. We'll put it, whether it's $100 or $10,000, $10,000. If you're used to giving $10,000, I know none of you in here can do that, but give $100. Who knows? I'll tell you a quick story. I'm going to let you go in just a minute. Quick story. Bethany World Outreach Center in Baton Rouge. The pastor there, Brother Stockstill, made a brash promise to Reinhard Bonnke, who preaches in internationally known preacher from Germany, preaches in Africa. And he said to Reinhard, Reinhard, I want to put on a one of your crusades for you. And Randy says, very good. I'd be glad for you to do that. You know? And then Brother Stockstill said, well, how much does it cost? He says, $1 million. Brother Stockstill said, he didn't have $1 million. But he made a promise. So he went to his church. And he said to his church, I made a promise to Brother Reinhard Bonnke that I was going to put on a crusade for him in Africa. And it cost $1 million. I don't have the money. I want you to pray about it with me. And if God unexpectedly puts $1 million in your hands, I'd like you to give it for Reinhard Bonnke. I believe, and I may have my facts a little bit wrong, but I'm going to tell it the way I remember it. Within 3 months, one of the members of his church, who was a businessman, came to him and said, we just closed the biggest deal we ever did. I made a cool $1 million. Here's your check. How do you like them apples? How'd you like to do that? You get the picture about doing something that's so extraordinary that everyone would remember it? You know what that lady got for our alabaster jar? She got two things. Jesus looked at her and he said, your sins are forgiven. That's the greatest gift you'll ever get. The greatest recognition we'll ever have is when Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Well, you know what else she got? Because God's so generous. He said this. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told. And it's still being told over and over again. We don't even know the lady's name. But one day, when we get to the other side and we get the glory, I'm going around and I'm going to ask somebody, where's the alabaster box lady? I want to see her. I don't want to talk to Simon the leper. But I want to ask him how he felt that day. And he'd probably say, it's under the blood, brother. Forget about it. Jesus doesn't remember, neither do I. Let's have a really great holiday season, permeated with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Would you like to do that for a change? Amen. Let's do something different. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I done preached myself happy again. We have to pray for the stock market to go up a little bit. I need some help. Because I don't know where we're going to get the money from we're going to give this year, but I just got a feeling we're going to... Hallelujah. Father, you're so good to us, and how we praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this lady. Thank you for the lessons that she taught us this morning about you and how to be bold and brash and benevolent, Lord, in a way that we could never even think of ourselves. Lord, let us be like her. Let us spend time in your presence. Let us worship you with the tears of our hearts of joy, tears of joy. Father, let us touch you. Let us pour out the perfume of our very souls as a sweet-smelling fragrance upon you. Let this be a different holiday season for us. Individually, as families, and as a church, let it be different, Father. And we thank you in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here this morning that maybe you don't know the Christ? You know, maybe it never clicked before, but it's clicking today. And you'd like to join a real Christmas party? And you'd like to receive Christ into your life? It's a pretty simple story, by the way. It says that Jesus lived, and that he died, and that he rose from the dead. And he said, whoever would believe in him, or believe that that took place, and put their trust in him to forgive their sins and to bring them to eternity with eternal life. He said, if you'll do that, you will have eternal life. It's a word that's been misused too much in our society, but it says that you'll be born again. I like another translation. It says you'd be born from above. Just like you were born physically, you'd be born from above. So I wonder if there's anybody here this morning who say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I'd really like to pray and ask Christ in my life. Anyone at all? You want to raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Don't scratch your ear. I'll be praying for you. Anyone at all? Yeah, I know it's embarrassing sometimes to do that, and I don't do this all the time. But if you feel after the services you'd like to talk to me for a minute, I'd just love to talk to you about the Lord and pray for you. We have some refreshments in the back, some cookies and some coffee and some other things, some juice. So don't run away. Just stay around and enjoy yourself for a few minutes. I thank you for being here. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.